Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we like to begin our time together by setting the intention with Naturally 7 and Let It Be. I'm sorry, I'm having issues with my technical things this morning. However, we will persevere. So, let me just decrease the volume a little and then we can continue. Wonderful. So as always, I welcome you and I appreciate you taking the time out on your busy Sunday to come into community, where we recognize and honor the God presence, the mystery, the unknowable, the divine beloved. As we consciously connect with that ground of our being, the source of all that is God in us as us. And for the next 45 minutes as we have communion, I trust that your soul is nurtured and nourished and that we continue to grow and embody and embrace the Christ life, the Christ presence that is right where we are. We're in this Lenten season of 40 days, and the 40 is very significant in the Bible. As we know, the children of Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years before entering into the promised land, and Jesus went off into the desert for 40 days whilst he prepared himself for his ministry. And whilst Jesus did not necessarily work on archetypes, because I personally believe he already had an awareness and an understanding that far surpassed our awareness and understanding, we are now looking into working on those aspects of ourselves, which is inherent in every single person. It's imprinted in the collective subconscious. And whichever particular archetype we tend to be influenced by is an expression of where we are in consciousness. It's an indicator of how we are progressing in life. And it's not a judgment, it's just simply recognizing what aspects of the particular archetype that is showing up at any given moment, be it the positive or the negative, as to how it literally is impacting the way you behave and your attitude. And today we're up to our sixth archetype, which is the archetype of the lover. It's also known, as we've shared previously, the various other different definitions of the same particular traits of an archetype, and this one is also known as the maiden, an addict, the hedonist, the damsel, a prostitute, a courtesan. The lover archetype governs all types of love, from parental love to friendship to spiritual love, and we most associate it with romance. The lover archetype seeks bliss, the bliss that it believes can only be found in true love. It has a link to all things that humans want on a deep level. I think one of the things that's most fascinating about love is that it comes in so many varieties. We know we've reflected and studied before, that the love that is used in the English language does not represent all the various aspects of love that exist, from platonic to passionate and sometimes even patronizing. But love is a universal language that speaks to the very essence of our being. It's the one thing that I think we can safely say has been celebrated and revered throughout history, whether it's inspiring art or tales of romance or devotion. It's also that thing which can bring about the most heartache and drama because of it. It's pleasure, it's intimacy, it allows us to make commitments and follows our bliss. This lover archetype is all about connection, intimacy, passion. And it's our primal archetype. It is the very first one we develop after birth. And we develop it because we are seeking connection with the mother. And that connection is all about acceptance and love. It represents the most natural way for each one of us to be met, have our needs met in the world. As a baby, we expect the world to rotate and center around us. We've often seen, those of us who, even if we haven't had children, how when the baby has a need for something, it expects you to stop what you're doing and respond to it immediately. It knows, I've always thought, how to manipulate from a very early age. It knows how to get what it wants by crying, whether it wants attention or feeding or changing. And it wasn't until I started to deep dive into these archetypes and understanding that this is the very first archetype we start to develop. And it is this thing with, because it is the primal archetype, it's the very first one, how much it influences us as we grow and develop. Now, realistically, no person, mother or father, can devote 100% of its time to the baby, to its child. It has things to do, whether it's for itself or herself, himself, or things in the home, things concerning the other children. But what happens, though, in the baby's consciousness as it starts to develop, if it doesn't feel like it's received what it needs in terms of that connection and that intimacy, it starts to feel that it's been wounded, that it's been ignored, it's been neglected, and that starts to impact as they grow up and develop into adults. And that sense of woundedness then goes into their shadow, which we'll talk about a little further down. You see, this archetype of lover is where we hold the area of pleasure, sensual pleasure, where we enjoy food and being held and being loved and all of that stuff. And, you know, the baby gets it all the time. And we learn to experience it as we grow up into adults, too. But the thing is, when we feel like those particular needs haven't been met as a child, it festers in us. This energy, when we feel wounded because we didn't think we had received enough from our parents or mother, can inflate and deflate us and can cause certain behaviors between the two polarities. And we'll come on to that a little bit deeper in a minute. But the archetype of the lover, they enjoy living in the moment, and they're appreciative of the physical environment. They try to be more attractive physically and emotionally, and they crave intimacy. They enjoy being in relationships with people. The lover archetype is also known as a friend, a spouse, a team builder, partner, and essentialist. When the lover archetype is expressing through you, it can encourage you to love yourself so that you are also capable of loving others. But it is also a binding energy that invites you to indulge in delight in things that you love in life. When you have your lover archetype energy developed, you can feel comfortable in your skin. You can laugh at yourself and feel that life, and just enjoy a deep sense of gratitude and appreciation. Excuse me. Excuse me. This archetype is at the root of the law of attraction. When we studied the law of the universe, or the five universal laws, it was the fifth one. It's that which can draw to us its mental equivalent. This lover archetype activates the law of unity and love, because it celebrates our ways of connecting and building and inspiring connection. So the major characteristic of this archetype is that they're able to handle intense emotions, they have great passions for life, they're spontaneous, they have a great sense of wonder, they often tend to follow the emotions and make decisions based on them, they like to pursue their dreams and imagination. They're eager to try new experiences and live life freely. They are passionate about appreciation things and just their self-esteem that they have in their relationships. They forge deep emotional connections. So when we think about films and brands that represent the lover archetypes, we can automatically think of Romeo and Juliet, and those that like the Titanic, there's Jake and Rose. We can see clearly they're the lover archetypes. And when we think of brands, we can think of Häagen-Dazs, the ice cream, Victoria's Secret, the Hallmark Channel, or the Godiva chocolates. You see, because this is part of the collective consciousness, the subconsciousness that we all share, writers, marketers will look to utilize the archetype in order to attract that whichever one they're using to that aspect in us. So we're going to see it in films. We're going to see it in the things we eat or like and enjoy. And because the lover archetype is associated with sensual pleasure, you can see Victoria's Secrets, Häagen-Dazs, Godiva chocolates. These are all the things that are appealing to the lover archetype in us. And of the 12 major archetypes, the lover energy is the one that is most missing in men especially. And this is a result because of men have a disconnect from their emotions and the world around them. Now, the shadow side of the lover archetype. You could say it has an addictive nature. And it can objectify others, whether it's in romance or sex addictions. They can be seducers and use love for conquest or sex. They're unable to say no when passion descends or it's totally destroyed when a lover leaves. It can manifest as shallowness, obsessiveness, or being overly dramatic. They can lose themselves in pursuit of attraction and beauty, and they become too single-minded in their focus. They can objectify others and they can be addictive to intimacy and the quality of the relationship. And in order to soothe those kind of behaviors, they will self-soothe with drugs or alcohol or sugar or caffeine or porn, and the list goes on. And this is because the feeling and the pain of original abandonment or loss, as I referred to earlier, when they were growing up, if they didn't receive what they felt they needed from their mother, was so great, so unbearable as the infant human, that it may just so impress upon their soul that it can lead them to a lifetime of this self-soothing, addictive behavior. So you will know your shadow lover is sabotaging you when you are under the control of any of the addictive things of food or sex or alcohol, etc. The shadow lover we could think of as having a scarcity mentality because it never has enough. It can't get enough love. And that, as we know, when we think we can't get enough of something, is a scarcity mentality. And the person who's operating from the shadow lover avoids working on his wounds, avoids healing them, because it's too painful. If he even begins and he finds it too much and overbearing, he just will not do it. He'll just allow the wound to continue. But there are other ways of responding to these wounds. And it is this thing that perhaps when we think about what we felt we didn't get when we were growing up as a child, it could still be healed. And we know that the shadow lover, or you're operating from the shadow lover, when you see scarcity, when you are operating from that victim mentality, that poverty thinking, that not enoughness. And when the lover archetype is totally absent, people can become too rigid, too structured, too disciplined, inflexible. They find it hard to adapt to change and circumstances. But when the lover archetype is in balance, it can show us the transformative power of love. By giving and receiving love authentically and without an agenda, or there being strings attached, or any manipulation happening, you can create a more connected and thoughtful world. You can build on the seeds of love. As a lover yourself, it's important to reflect into the mirror, back to yourself, and give that love to yourself first. Excuse me. When your cup is filled, you can give to others, whether it's in business, whether it's in your relationships or in friendships. We give from a sense and from a place of abundance, not from need. And this can allow us to create a balanced perspective. We can give and take without an over-reliance of another or draining another's energy. To cultivate the lover archetype, we need to open up our heart and breathe in the beauty that's all around. We need to accelerate and up our vibration of joy. As we do so, we will call love to us, which will allow us to grow and build connections that affirm how we are evolving and growing. In conclusion, the lover archetype reminds us of the beauty and power of love, but also of the importance of balance and self-love. As we embrace this transformative power of love, we can create a more loving and connected world, both within ourselves and in our relationships with others. So, my beloveds, I think we can see the imperativeness of looking, working with, and addressing the lover archetype both from the positive and recognizing what aspects we have in the shadow. And it doesn't matter how old we are, where we are on our journey, there are going to be aspects of the shadow side of the lover archetype to which we can all acknowledge for certain. There are some quotes that I came across that I have to share. The first is from Daphne Rose Kingma, who says, "It is love that fashions us into the fullness of our being. Not our looks, not our work, not our wants, not our achievements, not our parents, not our status, not our dreams. These are the fodder and the filler, the navigating fuels of our lives, but it is love. Who we love, how we love, why we love, and that we love, which ultimately shapes us." The quote from Ayaz Uddin that I shared yesterday, "All that you see, see in love. All that you do, do in love. All that you speak, speak in love. All that you be in love." I want us to recognize the importance of honoring the lover archetype. It is imperative, I believe, that of all the archetypes and of which they are all necessary, it is the lover archetype, the primal archetype, that truly allows us to grow and expand. My sacred text that I want to share, the first is Lao Tzu saying, "Being deeply loved by someone gives you strength, while loving someone gives you courage." But the sacred text that I believe that has guided me throughout my spiritual journey is from Mark 12:30-31. "You shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." You see, I truly believe that when our teachers was asked what was the greatest commandment, and he replied with that statement, it encompasses the need to express, experience, and embody love, which is our true nature, our true essence. It is the nature of God. Therefore, it is definitely our nature. We have allowed various things and experiences to color it, as just described in the lover archetype, in the shadow aspect. But this is the truth we need to continuously come back to remember, and express. My poem that I want to share with you this morning is by a 20-year-old Filipino poet of the 20th century, who was the first one to have his work published in English. His name is Luis G. De Gato, and this poem is entitled Pagan Passion. "I'm sweetly perplexed by love sallies, releases, by the countless retreats and the numberless captures, by the petulant coldness and agreeable raptures, by the whisper of phrases that hurt and then pleases. I am drunk by the prodigal total of leases from her body and spirit, her soul and senses. I revel in approaches and artless offenses, in her challenging taunts and her tenderly teases. Now will I disengage a red flower from her tresses, and uplift her life form from a divan of roses, from the zephyr of night too much passion opposes, and in delicate folds now has rumpled her dresses. On tomorrow's new ventures the heart eager presses. I repose now to ponder on life's soothing losses. My story this morning is entitled Only Time Can Understand Love. Once upon a time there was an island where all the feelings lived. Happiness, sadness, knowledge, and all the others, including love. One day it was announced to the feelings that the island was going to sink, so they all needed to vacate it as soon as possible. All the feelings prepared their boats and left. Love was the only one who stayed. Love wanted to stay until it started sinking. When love was almost sinking, he decided to ask for help. Wealth was passing by love in a beautiful boat, and love said, "Wealth, can you take me with you?" Wealth answered, "No, I can't. There's a lot of gold and silver in my boat. There's no place here for you." Love decided to ask Vanity, who was also passing by. "Vanity, please help me." "I can't help you, love. You're all wet. You'll possibly damage my boat," Vanity answered. Sadness was close by, so love asked for help. "Sadness, let me go with you." "Oh, love, I'm so sad, but I prefer to go alone." Happiness passed love too, but she was so happy she did not hear when love called her. Suddenly, there was a voice. "Come, love. I will take you." It was an elder. Love became so happy that he even forgot to ask the elders her name. When they arrived at dry land, the elder went on her own way. Love acknowledged another elder, the name of the elder who had helped him. "It was time," answered Knowledge. "Time? But why did time help me?" asked Love. "Because only time can understand how valuable love is," answered Knowledge. My science of mind reading is entitled Love Exponentially. The first quote is from Ram Dass. "Being in love means seeing the beloved all around me." The second quote from Ernest Holmes. "Love is the central flame of the universe, nay, the very fire of itself." The author writes, "I'm so thankful for my openness and willingness to love. To love me, to love you, to love all. And I firmly believe that self-love is paramount to how much we can love others. Each year that goes by, I find that I love myself more, faults, mistakes, and all. Learning to recognize that every single person does the best they can helps me love unconditionally, even those with quite divergent beliefs and attitudes. I'm always striving for agape love, unconditional love that can be hard to practice. I'm learning to love without seeking control, to love without restraints or conditions. Isn't it ironic that I can sometimes be the most critical and unloving to those closest to me? I guess I feel safest in family love. When residing in my zone of all is well and oneness, I truly love every single aspect of the beloved, which includes all people, all creatures, all nature. The microcosms of life that are in every inch of ground on this planet, and the macrocosm, the infinite universe found in the galaxies, stars, planets, and life in other realms we cannot see or touch. I love purely, and I love deeply. This is not to say that I don't fall out of love sometimes. I'm human. But I have the greatest gratitude I can find in my heart for loving and loving more." My beloveds, if you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes as we go within for our reflective affirmative meditation this morning. always I like to remind you of the words of Job, who said, "It is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life." As we study the different and various archetypes, so that we may truly grow and expand our awareness of the Spirit of life that is right where we are. Inhale, lower the diaphragm, extend the stomach, and breathe in the breath of life. Hold. Gently, slowly release. Inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly. For the third and final time, inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly. Affirm. This morning's meditation is by Reverend Martha Quintana, entitled "Good Day to Be Alive." Please affirm for yourself, life is good. It is all there is. It is alive in the stars, collapsing into form as all people, places and things, just because life desires to know itself in those forms. Life is peace, joy, and desire fulfilled and unfulfilled. It is grace, divine unfoldment, and wholehearted faith. I revel in this good. Like the sea embracing the sand. Like a cool drink on a hot day. I let the good well up from inside of me and meet the good in all conditions of my life. Life as me wells up from inside and outside, so I can create again and again. I create a life of good, a life of peace, joy, and happiness. This is not a theory. It is a fact. I am that life restored for my own use and delight. I am. As I know this I am life for me, I know it for every single person. I know it for all people everywhere. Each of us is life collapsed into form. Nothing lacking, nothing missing. Each of us lives a life filled with good and knows it from the inside out. Anything, any thought, belief, or conditioning that stands in the way of peace, joy, and happiness falls away, never to return. Today is a good day to be alive. From this goodness, I speak my word. I lay down all burdens and know that I know that I know. My word is faith made manifest. And I see that this is true for everyone. I affirm and declare that all is well. Whatever I have believed has burdened my life is now laid to rest, sent back to the nothingness from which it came. I am grateful for this day and for knowing the magnificence of my life. I am grateful to be whole, perfect, and complete, and to experience this beautiful life manifested. I am grateful to see it everywhere I look. And I am happy that the blessing of my vision is already manifested. What a great day. I release my word, knowing it is done. And so it is. Take a deep breath in as you allow those powerful words that you've affirmed to vibrate within your being. And now as we enter into our circle of prayer, you're invited to include anything that is, and anyone that is in need of prayer at this time. We know that prayer is simply the self asking the self whatever it needs. We are not praying to a God somewhere, but acknowledging and revealing a God that is right where we are. Divine Beloved, ground of being, thou who art the absolute mystery, the field of consciousness through which we all think into and receive the inspiration, ideas, visions, and dreams from. As we consciously come into communion with you this morning, remembering, realizing, realigning that you are the true source of love that exists within us, awaiting awareness and expression in and through us unconditionally. As we recognize the lover archetype that is the primal archetype that came within us as we entered into this world. The blueprint of love was already there. And for whatever shadow types of love, the lover archetype we may be holding onto, let us remember that you are the source of all the love that we need. That your love is unchanging and unending, and that it fulfills all of the shortcomings, all of the failed expectations that we may have received in relationships, parental, familial, romantic. Your love is always there, eternal, unending, unceasing. As we work on these different aspects of our nature, let us strive to embody the one commandment that our teacher taught, that we were to love you with all our heart and soul and to love each other as well as ourselves. We know that at this time, with all that is happening across our world, we need to express this love now more than ever. We need to be the radiating love centers that you created us to be, to ripple out and touch not only our family and friends, our communities, our nations, but the world as a whole. We need to vibrate on that essence of love that we are, so that we can make a difference by just being a loving presence in our world. Mother, Father, God, all the songs and all the words that have been written about love truly can never encompass and embrace us all. But as we remember that love is who we are and love is whose we are, let us express that love as we go on and forward. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, we are ever grateful. And so it is. And so it is. And so it is. I'll mute the phones for a shortened Buddhist reflection. As with these archetypes, there's so much to try and share, even though I've edited it out so much, so we'll just do one or two of our Buddhist reflective meditations. Repeat after, oh no, let me do our science of mind affirmation first. Repeat after me. I am thankful to live in love.
I am thankful to live in love.
Experientially.
Experientially.
And ever increasingly,
and ever increasingly,
in the present moment,
in the present moment.
I'll put his reflections. If anyone has hurt or harmed me,
if anyone has hurt or harmed me,
knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed.
Knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed.
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone.
Knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed.
Knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed.
May I be happy. May I be peaceful.
May I be peaceful.
May I be free.
May I be free.
May my friends be happy.
May my friends be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
May all beings be happy.
May all beings be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
Our rumination, Rumi says, true lovers aren't formed by chance. They are for each other from the start. My closing benediction. Mother, Father, God, this Lenten season, touch our hearts that we may go out into the world and demonstrate your peace. And in Christ's name, be the humble to make others proud, the generous who have riches to share, the weak who help others be strong, the empty who overflow with loving kindness, and the largest of the love of grace of your Holy Spirit. My beloveds, I trust you are finding this informative as we study the archetypes. And my closing song for you is by Unspoken, entitled Loved by You. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've been carrying a weight from my life. I've been trying to measure up in your eyes. I ain't getting any rest. I've been fighting battles cause you've already won. I've been running races cause you've already run. I've been walking steady on something already done. Like I could ever hope to do enough. I've been every battle and trying. Thank you.
pain like I've never been known. Just feel it all until you call me your own. Now my heart can finally rest. No more fighting battles you've already won. No more running races you've already run. There's peace in knowing all that you've already done. We'll always, never, ever be enough.
Love that. That was Unspoken and Loved by You. Beloved, I wish you a very blessed and happy Sunday. I look forward to joining you next week for Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. Peace and blessings.